Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
One of the goods that we all want to some degree and enjoy to some degree is respect or honor or prestige, however you want to put it. What that means is having other people look to us as being valuable, being worthy, having some sort of goodness that they recognize. And when I was actually reading through this, I started thinking about something that Aristotle doesn't talk about very explicitly, achievement. We often want to be recognized for achievements. And sometimes mere recognition itself can become a kind of achievement for a lot of people. When somebody wants to be, you know, a celebrity for celebrity's sake, they're important because they're honored by a lot of people, they're famous to a lot of people. What's really behind it? There's really nothing there other than the fact that a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, great person. Some people are really obsessed with grades. The question they forget to ask themselves, what does the grade actually signify? It doesn't signify you're a great person. It signifies you performed. If the class is set up right, you actually performed these tasks and did them the right way at a high level of competency or something. You mastered this set of skills, right? An A without actually doing anything is kind of valueless. It's empty. It doesn't mean anything. But some people will take that A just as much as the achieved A, or even the one, you know, from the teacher who says, none of you are getting A's, and you wrest an A out of them, right? Then that really feels good, doesn't it? Now, all of that kind of feeds into this, because we want to think about why people want to be honored. What's going on with that? And here, Aristotle is actually going to talk about four different kinds of people. So, the great soul person, they deserve a lot, because they actually are genuinely good. They have virtues, and along with that, they claim much. They know their genuine value. That doesn't mean that they're a jerk all the time and make everybody, you know, like, show me honor, you know, make sure that you tell me what a great person I am, because that would actually be not doing this sort of thing. That would be slipping away from that. We're going to see some of these conditions in just a moment. What would be opposed to that? Well, over on the side of deficiency, you could have somebody who deserves something, but claims less than they deserve. This is what Aristotle calls the small soul, mikropsuchia in Greek, and it's the people who are sort of unassuming. They put themselves down. They don't treat themselves as having the value that they actually do. And other people are like, what the hell's wrong with you? You could have gone for that position. That would have been perfect for you. No, I don't think I'm the right guy for the job. They think less people like them than people actually do. They value themselves lower than they ought to. They may not be as great as the great soul person, but they do deserve more than they are claiming. And because they claim less, they're likely to get less as a result. Because how does society work? Who tends to get things? Does it come to you just by merit? What's your experience? Do you generally get things just by somebody like looking at your scores and saying, oh yeah, you fit in here? Or is it the person who actually, like, you know, says, hey, over here, who tends to get the stuff? What were you going to
say? I was going to say people who, like, work really hard and go and get it themselves.
Go and
take the initiative themselves.
Yeah, you have, the taking the initiative is something that's missing here. Now, on the other hand, on the side of success, and you all know people like this, there are some who, they may deserve something. They're not totally full of, you know, BS or all smoke and mirrors, but they claim more. And they want to be treated better than they actually deserve. I had this experience with students at my previous job where they would come in and, you know, not so much in my class, but in a lot of other people's classes, they have a sort of a bad classroom management kind of attitude, you know, putting their feet up on the desk and, like, talking and stuff like that, you know, when we're trying to get started. And all those sort of things that don't happen that much here at Marist, but happen a lot at other places. I would say, hey, knock it off. we're going to start class. And then they get mad at me. Yeah, you've got to respect me. And I would say, what? You're here to take the class, right? This is a cooperative activity, and you're only one person in that, and you're actually disrupting the class. I'll show you respect. I'm already showing you respect by actually explaining this to you instead of just kicking you out of my class like I could or marking you down. But they weren't getting that. In order to, as we say, in order to get respect, you have to what? Give respect, right? So you have to do that first. Somebody like that doesn't get it. They always think that everybody should give them more respect, more prestige, more honor, more positions than they are getting. And oftentimes they can't be satisfied. You give in to them and you give them the nice spot. Fine, we'll give you the title. You can be the editor-in-chief, even though we'll all do the work. And they're still not happy. Because there's this desire in them to have more and more. Now, the fourth type is little, but claims. There are some people, he calls this the modest. There are some people who actually, they say, look, you know, I'm not supposed to be the one in charge because I'm not really suited for that. And that's okay with me. I'm fine with just doing my bit part. I don't have to, like, show off to anybody. They're not like these people who don't really have that much going for them but want to feel that they have a lot going for them. And they're not like these people over here who are, you know, sort of downplaying themselves, lowballing their value. They understand they're really not that great. And he says it's kind of like the great soul person in that they actually have the right evaluation of what they deserve. What separates the great soul person from this kind of person is the fact that the great soul person really does deserve a lot because they really are virtuous. They have good character traits. They contribute. So you can't have this virtue of great souledness or magnanimity without having other virtues. So, you know, being courageous, for example. You need to be a courageous person in order to be this, or a just person. There's kind of a reciprocal relationship. It kind of brings the virtues together. So somebody, you know, who's got a right estimate of themselves and say, I don't really have a lot of virtues. I'm not a bad guy, but I'm not a great guy either. So, you know, don't talk to me as if I'm like Mother Teresa because I give a buck to the bum on the corner. Just, you know, let's keep this in perspective. They're actually on track. This person gets to say, yeah, okay, I guess in a certain respect, maybe I am like Mother Teresa because they really are like Mother Teresa. I suppose actually Mother Teresa from Aristotle's point of view, you know, where she'd end up? Over here. This is where Aristotle is very different than later Christian authors who saw this as a form of pride, pridefulness. When really maybe this is more pride, being prideful than what one doesn't actually have. So, what else does he tell us about this? Well, who are they interested in getting respect from? Everybody? Nobody? Something in between? Yeah.
Maybe we need people that they consider respectable.
Yeah, there's a good way to put it. People over here will take it from whoever they can get it because they're so hungry for it. And they're always insecure about not actually measuring up to what they're saying about them. The magnanimous person is not interested in everybody's opinion about them. They're not interested, they wouldn't be going, for example, on American Idol because they don't care what the crowd thinks and they wouldn't care what the judges think. They might be going on shows where the better judging of talent or something like that. It's not so much popularity. Well, they probably wouldn't be doing singing anyway. They'd probably be doing something like philanthropy or, you know, trying to run an industry or change the world in some way. Not that you can't change the world through singing, right? But they're not going to be concerned about popular opinion. They're going to be concerned about the people who actually have something to contribute to the conversation because they actually know what they're talking about. So, I mean, this is something to think about. Who do you, all of you should be concerned with these questions about what you deserve and how much you actually claim. Think about who you want to hold you up in high esteem. Whose opinion counts for you? That's an important determiner. What else? They want to be honored for great things. They're not particularly interested in being honored for trivial things. So they'll show up to the dinner where they're getting some small award and be good about it, but they're not seeking that sort of stuff out. Whereas people over here get obsessed about that sort of stuff. They really care about the small, like employee of the month. Unless you're at a place where that's really a big thing, you probably shouldn't care about employee of the month. Some places actually rotate it so nobody feels left out. But people like this are really obsessed about that. The magnanimous, they want to be honored for having done something that really means something, that changes things for the better, something noble. This person over here, what's missing in their respect is that they're not seeking out any of those. So what else can you say? They have a due measure with respect to assessing wealth and power and birth in a couple different ways. Wealth and power and birth are three things that are what Aristotle calls goods of fortune. These are things that happen to people, and very often they didn't deserve them or choose them or anything like that. You didn't choose who your parents are, right? So if your parents are rich and you're rich as a result, it's not like you made that money yourself, right? Same thing with noble birth. That's not a big deal over here, but that was a big deal back in ancient Greece. And we could think about people who are kids of celebrities, kids of politicians, people like that. And then power. Does having power make you a good person? What's your experience of that? Yeah.
Depends on how you use it.
Very much, yeah. And sometimes you didn't realize what a bad person the person was until they got some power, right? Even just a little bit sometimes. And so the magnanimous person doesn't value these things too highly because they realize these are very arbitrary. That doesn't mean that they'll turn their nose up at rich people or something like that. But it's interesting. He says that they will be kind of haughty and they will be more modest, more open towards the people who are lower down in the scale. So, here's a good way to put this. Here's a metaphor. My mother was a secretary, a good portion of her life. And from her, I learned by observation that if you want to get something done in an office, you need to make friends with the secretaries because that's where things actually happen. And they can kill you or they can pave your way to success. Bosses are important, but secretaries stay and bosses go. And secretaries will often have a much better understanding about what's going on in the organization than the executives do. Now, how do people talk to secretaries most of the time? Yeah.
Yeah, they talk down to them, expect them to do things for them.
Yeah. I knew a guy when I was in graduate school, a professor who did that to me, department secretary, who'd been there 35 years, knew everybody in the university. And with just one conversation, he screwed himself for the next 10 years to come. Because he did that, he talked down to her and ordered her around. The magnanimous person is not going to do that. They treat the people who have the lower positions as if they really matter. And they treat the people who are in the higher positions as if they're just peers. That's tough to do, because what's our natural inclination? To suck up to the rich and powerful and to look down on the people who are, for the moment, below us. Kind of a good apprenticeship that I had, thanks to my mom. I'm very thankful for. Similarly, when it comes to benefits, the magnanimous person likes giving out benefits, doesn't like receiving them. In part because receiving them makes it feel like you're actually not as on top of things as you are. But giving benefits is a way to show that you actually are good, that you do deserve a lot. People over here are much more interested in receiving benefits, particularly of honor. The magnanimous person also realizes that the high-born, the rich, and the powerful will often tend to think of themselves as being like the magnanimous because they think that they do deserve a lot, and they do often claim a lot, but they don't have good reasons for doing so. And think about money, for example. Just like power, it's what you do, right? So have you known some people who are complete jerks and are rich? in your lifetime? They're not magnanimous, right? Do people who are rich and are jerks, do they think that they deserve a lot? Do a lot of other people think that they deserve a lot? Do they claim a lot? Yes. But they're not magnanimous, are they? So it's not just deserving a lot and claiming a lot or thinking that you do that makes that the case. It's what you do. It's how you characteristically behave. The other thing that he says about the magnanimous that I think is really interesting, there's an openness to them. They say what they think. They're not concerned about, you know, appealing to other people's images of them, maintaining those images in any sort of artificial way. They want to be known for actually being good and making the claim to that on that basis. So if they don't like you, they'll let you know. Or if they don't like what you're doing, they'll let you know. On the other hand, if they love what you're doing, they'll let you know about that too. Think about how many times we have to kind of cover up what we like and what we don't like, and how that tends to force us into one of these extremes, which is really isn't good for us. Now, we've talked a lot about the magnanimous person, and I think this one's pretty straightforward. People who are actually prideful, who are vain, as Aristotle says, they claim for themselves more than they deserve. They're not claiming it for themselves on the basis of real achievements, because otherwise they would deserve what they claim, right? This is like the person who gets A's by taking all the easy classes, and then says, aha, I've got a perfect report card. Ah, sure you do, but it doesn't mean the same thing as somebody who took tough classes, who actually measured up, right? A lot of people mix up achievement and recognition, and they think that somehow the recognition is itself an achievement. The recognition only really matters for somebody who sees things rightly if there's a real achievement behind it. Now, what about people over here? I tend to think, for merit students, this is more of a danger than this. Why? Yeah.
Because you're not reaching your potential.
You're not reaching your potential. You might be, but then you're not letting anybody know that you're reaching. And there is a tendency to tell us not to brag, right? It requires some work to overcome the reticence that many of us feel. Like, you know, have you ever heard the phrase, you have to sell yourself? Like in job interviews, things like that. You really do. And it's okay to sell yourself if you really have the goods to back it up. Then it still feels kind of weird at first, but you need to do it. Aristotle's view. You have to actually be able to be comfortable with saying, yes, I am good at this. I am the person for the job. Not by way of, like, you know, making stuff up or inflating your resume, but a lot of you are really solid students who have a lot of great experience. You're pretty good thinkers, from what I can tell from your writing, and often tend to be self-deprecating. It's hard to overcome that tendency, particularly when it's been pushed on us. We should be modest, right? If you're here, this is good. If you really don't have, you know, some skills to put on the table on some occasions, don't try to make anything up. Try to be a big shot. But if you really have something, you don't want to be the person who gets passed over all the time because they don't claim anything. A lot of other people in their lives look at these people and they're like, what's going on? Why aren't you getting, say, promoted? Why aren't you getting this opportunity? Why aren't you being recognized for this? Because they convey to other people, I'm not really worthy of this. I don't really deserve this. So those are the virtues and vices concerned with honor on a large scale.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.